Now, just to put a couple more resources in front of you, Brother Barker goes out into churches and emphasizes scripture memory. And there are two books, two leaflets that he has on sale today. It is the last day special, right, Brother Barker? Memorizing with Preacher Man is $5, and the topical scripture reference revised edition is $5. It's not from the revised standard edition of the scriptures. It's just the revised edition of that particular book. And so make sure that you stop by the table and pick up some good resources. Memorization is an important tool in combating sin in our lives. I want to echo what Brother Mitchell spoke about with the music last night. I thought the rapture was going to take place. And I thought Pastor Ferguson was going to be the first to go. In fact, I was kind of sitting back here, and I was kind of getting anxious. I thought, if he goes into speaking in tongues, how is Pastor Dameron going to handle this? I'm interested to see what's going to happen. But, boy, I just felt like I was lifted up into a third heaven, like Paul was the other when he wrote in the Scriptures. The story is told about a pastor that got up in the pulpit and apologized for the Band-Aid on his face. And he said, I was thinking about my sermon while shaving and cut my face. Afterward, the offering was taken. The treasurer found in the offering a note to the preacher that said, next time think about your face and cut your sermon. So I got one of those notes this week. I can't believe it. So I'm going to try to cut it, all right, and give the fair time to Dr. Sorensen. But I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter number 4. In your notes in the conference booklet, there is a there's a note section for this morning's teaching time, and I want to give you some things and then hopefully give you some things to study on your own. But Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 9, I think it's interesting what the Apostle Paul gives to the church, and I appreciate what Dr. Sorensen said the other night when he said that what is applicable to the church is applicable to the family. I really believe that. And Paul's writing to a church that he loves. He's writing to a church that he has relationship with. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, he said that they had partnered with him from the beginning of the gospel right up to the time in which he's writing them, or there was a relationship that was a continual relationship. And he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9, and he says this. He says, those things which ye have both learned, that's the word for disciple, student, relationship, and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I've been given the topic this morning on how to develop teenagers for the Lord, and I want to speak on the thought briefly, addressing fault lines in young people's lives from the book of Proverbs. Addressing fault lines. Fault lines are interesting, is an interesting study. They are cracks in the lithosphere caused by stresses that are created as a section of a plate are moving in different directions. In this case, the earthquake event is called a slip. Or fault lines form in the earth's crust as a brittle response to stress or pressure. Try to read through a proverb every day in my life. Proverbs 22 was this morning. But one of the things that I glean from the book of Proverbs is that Solomon, with young people, is constantly addressing pressures. Hey, son, there's going to be a pressure in your life where you're not going to be with me. And when that pressure comes and that allurement comes, remember, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, there's a pressure coming, and I don't want a fault line to develop. Strange women. You read a lot about strange women in Proverbs. You know why? Because strange women are an allurement to young men. And it's a pressure point. And if they're not made aware of it, watch this, if they're not taught about it before the turn comes or the confrontation comes, they may very well fall in the crack. They may develop a crack, a character crack, and it could turn into an earthquake. And so Fault lines will form. Parents, understand this. Fault lines will form in our young people as life brings about pressures that they have never faced before. Teenage years are going to bring about a lot of pressures. Peer pressure. Pressures from not fulfilling responsibilities. Pressures from sin that's committed and choices that are made and consequences that come as a result of those choices. Temptations that are created by the flesh. As a result, fault lines can show up. I have told our teen parents as a youth pastor for 10 years and now as a pastor, if a fault line shows up, don't lose your mind. It's good that they show up when our children are still under our roof. Those are opportunities to help them with the fault lines before they're out on their own and they don't have that parent, that tutor, that mentor, that person that has relationship that's pouring into them to help them shore up the fault lines. It's important that we not look at everything as this huge obstacle, but opportunities that God gives us and brings before our eyes so that we can deal with them wisely, help them through it, help them to shore it up and grow from it. But fault lines will occur. And if we don't deal with them and they don't deal with them correctly, then they get into a situation where an earthquake develops. Now, a fault line is one thing, an earthquake is another. Fault lines generally are under the surface, right? Earthquakes and the results of them are where everybody can see. If a young man gets involved with a strange woman and it's not severed, there's going to be an earthquake. There's going to be an earthquake. And in the Bible, there are two words that communicate to me the idea of an earthquake. One is the word subvert in the New Testament. The other word is the word overthrow. These words mean to turn upside down. These words mean to bring great ruin. And we find the word subvert in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul's talking to Timothy in verse 14, and he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting, the overturn. The word is catastrophe, demolition, even apostasy of the hearers. I don't know about you, but catastrophe, demolition, and apostasy to me are earthquakes. And our young people can get there. I want to share with you four earthquakes. There are many more that I could share, but four earthquakes that I have watched happen, fault lines that have developed, and earthquakes that have resulted in working with teenagers over the years. First of all is the fault line of walking with God. Walking with God. Enoch walked with God. It's interesting. There are two men that are labeled in Scripture that walked with God. Enoch's one of them. Noah is the other one. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. It's vital that our children and our young people learn to walk with God. In your notes, I have put down some teaching points and some seeing points because we need to follow Paul's example. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Some parents have this perspective. Well, I just want them to see it. Well, seeing is important. It's just as important as teaching. But the Bible says, and Paul said, not only did they see it in me, but I taught it to them. They heard it from me. They received it. They learned it. And so in these fault lines, I think there's some things that we can do to shore some things up. Number one, under walk with God, teach being is more important than doing. Teach your children that being with God is more important than doing for God. Mary, Martha, Luke chapter 10, I think, is a vital passage. Mary was doing, but she was troubled. Or Martha was doing, but she was troubled. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. You will have no problem doing if your being is right. But if your being is flawed, eventually your doing, there's going to be some fault lines that show up. And that's important. Being is my time with the Lord. Being is that priority that I make in my life. Teach them, number two, that walking with God must be the top priority for a believer. For a believer. I am concerned in our churches that young people are growing up in our churches and there's not a teaching of knowing how to walk with the Lord. There's a lot of preaching on do it, but there's not a lot of teaching how to do it. And I'm also concerned that in our churches there are young people that they never open the Bible on their own. There's no desire. Brother, when I was a youth pastor, we took accountability every week in our devotional or in our teen time, we called it, and in our youth group. And that devotional, they had to fill out a slip. How many days did you have devotions? We then split up into care groups, and we randomly picked somebody to share something from their devotions. You know how many slips I got back? 1 out of 7 days. 0 out of 7 days. And I thought, uh-oh. Our youth workers, we taught them how to pull young people aside and work with them on how to have devotions. We offered journals that they could use as a launch pad to actually write something down that they got from God. Listen to me this morning. We have to teach them how to walk with God, and then it has to be top priority. Thirdly, look for who God is in the text. We gave it out a devotional 1 year to our teenagers, and every other day was about who God is. And how can God be that for me today? Here's a text of Scripture. Let's look at who God is in this text of Scripture and then answer the question, how can He be my rock today? How can He be my deliverer today? How can He be the lifter up of my head, as Psalms 3 talks about, today in my life? Because our kids, if they're going to walk with God, the result of that should be that they know God. Because those that know God, they put their trust in Him according to Psalm 9:10. And so a walk with God must be emphasized. It must be taught. Teach them to pray for understanding as they open God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Start your day with that. Man, I was taught that. And still today, open the Word of God. It's almost habitual in my mind, in my heart. Lord, show me something from your Word. I need you to illuminate my eyes. Seeing points, let them see and hear you share from your personal devotions. Hey, son, let me share with you what God taught me today. Seeing. Dad walks with God. Dad heard from God in his life. Deuteronomy 6 deals with that in a big way. They need to hear from you sharing from your personal devotion. Sometimes I took family devotions to do that. Sometimes it was while we walk in the way. Sometimes it's over the phone now with two kids here. But we talk about devotions. We talk about what we're learning. Hey, what are you using right now in your devotions? I ask my kids that frequently. Where are you at in your Bible reading? Here's where I'm at. Here's what the Lord's teaching me. Let them hear you testify of an answered prayer. Let them hear you testify of an answered prayer. This is seeing. Let them see you with your Bible open, reading it, praying over a prayer list. Make some investment and purchase them some Bible tools to use. I remember our kids were 8, 9, 10 years old. I remember laying on the floor, all of our Bibles open to the same place, and I showed them how to mark their Bibles. And we evaluated words, and we learned to look up words. We passed a Strong's Concordance around it. Here's how you use this tool, and here's how you study the Bible. Brethren, that takes time. It takes discipline in our lives, but the reward is great if they learn to walk with God. Number two, fault line number two, authority. Authority. It's a foundational truth for young people. They must have a right attitude towards authority. There's a generation whose eye mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. That's not a very good future from Proverbs 30. Let me give you some teaching points on authority. Teach your children, all authority is ordained and delegated by God. Therefore, when you disobey authority, when you disrespect authority, when you dishonor authority, you are dishonoring God. All authority is ordained by God. That's a basic you got to come back to. Understand fault lines are going to occur. You want to shore them up. You want to build them strong in the Word of God in these areas. And authority is a constant problem. Teach them, number two, authorities will not always do everything right. What, preacher? No, they will not always do everything right. That doesn't give us the freedom to disobey them. Well, this authority, I don't agree with this, so I'm not following them in anything. You know, there's nobody that does everything right. But there's still authorities put in place by God, and we're to honor the position as well as the person. Authority. Submission to authority, I would teach them this, is an attitude of placing myself under God's authority. Submission to my authority in my life is an attitude of really submitting to what God has brought into my life. Those authorities watch for my soul. That's the way God set it up. Those authorities, they may not do everything right. They may not say it right sometimes, but they do watch for my soul. I need reminded of that. Boy, I have needed reminded of that in my own life. That, man, that hurt, but spiritual authorities watch for my soul. Hebrews 13, verse number 7 and verse number 17, you can write down as a reference. Obedience to authority is God's way of preserving me. Proverbs 4:4 says, He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. I was reading in Proverbs 22 this morning, and he said, retain my words, and he's talking again about him being preserved. Man, part of God's umbrella of protection, part of God's preserving me from wrong paths is take the words that your authorities give and put them in your hearts and keep them. That's part of God's protection plan. Authorities reprove, they correct, they enforce, they say no. But they are God's blessing in your life to keep order in your life. It's important. I want you to know, young people, college students this morning, that fiery darts will be aimed at you to think negative about authority. The Bible says part of spiritual warfare is that the enemy fires fiery darts at us. Now, a fiery dart to me is meant to ignite something that's not currently ignited in my life. It's fiery. It's not just a dart. It's not just meant to pierce. It's meant to ignite something. Young people, parents, please understand this. There will be times in your young people's lives where something, there will be a fiery dart that comes to ignite them to think wrong about authority, because the enemy knows if he can rip away authority in their life, they are unprotected. And that is a terrible place to be for a young person. So understand there are fiery darts. It's a pressure point. Seeing points, let them hear you pray for authority. Let them see you bless the authorities in your life. Let them see you submit to authorities in your life. Let them see a spirit of submitting to one another in the home, in the fear of God, because it is a fault line. Fault line number three, I'll not spend much time here and I'm almost done. Teachability and tenderness, two opposite examples. King Josiah was known for his tenderness. Pharaoh was known for his hard-heartedness. Teach your young people to be responsive to preaching and teaching. I tell our people all the time, when the altars get dry, it scares me half to death. Because if adults don't hit the altar and parents don't hit the altar and kids don't feel, ooh, dad's moving out of the seat to go to the altar. What are they going to do? They're going to sit in their pew, unresponsive, time after time. And so teach them to respond. Teach them you always be more merciful if they come to you with a problem or something they did wrong than if you find out from another source. We have instilled this in our children. Many times our kids have come to us and said, Dad, I need to talk to you about something, or Mom, I need to talk to you about something. And again, as I said the other night, it doesn't mean removal of all the consequences. But you study God responding to people that are of a broken and a contrite heart. And you'll see him as a God that is near. He draws near. He draws that person near. That will help with teachability and tenderness in their lives. Teach them that the tender heart is the trump suit in their lives. It's the number one thing. It affects everything. A study of the soils in Matthew 13 is a great study to do. Teach them how to respond to rebuke. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Teach them how to respond to rebuke. It is a pressure point. And I'll tell you this, every teenager will cross it. Every teenager will cross a time of rebuke, correction, or reproof. And may I say this, the reprover may not always be a wise reprover. The Bible talks about a wise reprover in Proverbs chapter 12. It doesn't matter whether the reprover's wise or not. It matters how you respond. In Proverbs 25, the Bible says the reprover, a wise reprover, is an earring of gold, but the person that responds to reproof correctly is an ornament of gold. Earring is, that's valuable. Boy, the reproof is valuable. But you know what is much more valuable in your life, young person? Your response to it. Teach them how to respond to reproof. Last thing is the fault line of handling hurt. When my kids left for Bible college and throughout their lives, I have warned them of some pitfalls, some possible earthquakes. I have watched young people get hurt by someone and they don't respond biblically. Their eyes become consumed on the individual and their eyes are taken off the Lord. Teach them that hurt is going to occur. Nobody in this life is going to escape hurt. And to be honest with you, with our young people growing up in church and church functions and Christian schools, probably the hurt is going to come from a brother. It's probably going to come from another Christian. When hurt occurs, it is vital that you understand that God uses hurt. And that if you don't deal with it before God and release it and understand it as a tool that God uses in our lives, you will hurt others. Hurt people hurt people. Psalm 37 is a great passage to teach to your children because it deals with fret not thyself against evildoers. And then it goes on and says, trust in the Lord and do good. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Listen, God's going to bring good out of it if you turn to the Lord. But if you're fretting and blowing up the individual that hurt you, you understand you're going to take a very evil course. And that's explained in Psalm 37 as well. I don't have time to go through it, but anger, wrath, doing evil towards others. As a parent, be careful not to rehearse. These are scene points now. Be careful not to rehearse old hurts about others in front of your children. Be careful. You may talk about it as a husband and wife behind closed doors and have to work through it together. But if you're talking about old hurts, you are setting a course. They're gleaning something. Let your children see a forgiving heart when your mate hurts you. They don't see forgiveness in the home. Wow. Now, when my kids get hurt, I want you to know there's a fleshly reaction. I'm a protector. I'm a dad. When my kids get hurt, as a dad, I want to jump out of my shoes and get my gun and let's go. And it's happened. I say this, listen to your children when they are hurt, but give them solid direction biblically. Don't wallow with them in self-pity or strengthen the position that they have been wronged. I sent my children not too long ago a message, and it said something to the effect of, when you ask God why and you're hurt, remember, this isn't fair, God. You allowed this into my life. Why'd you allow this into my life? Remember the hurt that he took for you on the cross. Be a person who seeks reconciliation in your relationships and be quick to admit wrong when you have hurt one of your children. I'm done this morning. There are other ones like discernment in relationships that you can study on your own. Diligence, worldliness, and holiness. These are fault lines, folks. They're going to happen. Let's not look at them as, man, my family's falling apart, my kids. Let's work with them. Let's help strengthen them. Let's help prepare them for the curve that's coming up in their lives so that earthquakes don't occur in our young people. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for principles. Thank you, Lord, for warning us about these areas, teaching us, Lord. And Lord, help us to be good teachers. Lord, help us to have relationship with our young people, to work at relationship. Help us to teach. Help us to show. Lord, may they see and hear and learn and receive. And Lord, may they do. In Jesus' name, amen.